Paradise Vibes only.
Hey everybody, welcome into the latest edition of the PVO podcast. That's the Paradise Vibes Only podcast. I'm Tim McMaster, along with the real talent of this show, of course, as always, Todd Isaacs and Lucius Fox, minor league ball players. We have a special guest on the program as well that we'll get to in a minute. Fellows, baseball almost here. We're recording on a Thursday night, opening day, 1 week away. Hard to believe that we're finally gotten here after everything that we've gone through with the pandemic and everything. But it is certainly exciting to think of actual baseball going on. Where are you guys at heading into this? Obviously, Todd, you're out in the Bahamas. Lou, you're in the 60 player pool. Do you guys feeling good about life right now?
Yeah. It's going pretty good for all the craziness that you know has been going on in the world. It's just we're just happy to be back out playing the game we love. You know, being around our teammates and staff, but just trying to stay as safe as possible. You know, trying to be a good teammate. Wearing your mask at all times, like keeping your distance, but also you know trying to show love. So it's been tough. It's been a few weird rules that you have to follow. But we're just happy to be back out on the field.
How about you, Todd? How's things going in the Bahamas?
Everything's starting to open up now. Before we get going, I just want to send my condolences out to the family of a close friend of ours, someone that we grew up playing baseball with, Leslie Darvely, lost his life today. So I just want to send my condolences out to all his family and friends. He was a real positive person. We had a lot of memories together traveling, playing baseball, and you know, he just tragically lost his life today. So I just want to send a shout out to his family and friends, and I got you in my prayers. And you know, it sucks, but you know, just got to cherish the memories.
Yeah, thoughts absolutely, and prayers go out to him and the family. All right, we mentioned Lou being in the 60 player pool with the Rays. All right, time to get to the guest, Jazz Chisholm, joining the show today. Not a guest for you guys because you guys go way back. Jazz also from the Bahamas, so childhood friends. And we were talking before we got started. Somehow, Jazz, it took 9 episodes of this podcast to get you on here. I would think you should take up a grievance with Todd and Lou about that.
Hey, first of all, I want to say I'm happy to be here. Glad the boys invited me. But all I got to say to y'all is, what's good with y'all boys, bro? Come on now.
You just had to make sure the time was right. The time is right. The race to number 7. It is the perfect time.
All right,
then. Jumped the gun. If we did it before, then it would have been good, but it wouldn't have been as good as it is today. The race to number 7, Lucius or Jazz. Who will be number 7?
Yeah, now explain that, Todd, exactly. Obviously, you're talking about the Bahamas and the major leagues. So how big is that? It's such a small number. It's a single digit that it's cool that you guys know that number, right? And that it's like this goal to achieve. And obviously, both Lou and Jazz have a chance here in 2020. But just talk about what that means in the Bahamas.
I mean, in the baseball world, that's huge. Anton Richardson was our last guy to make it to the major leagues, and before him, it was 30-40 years before that. So with Anton Richardson making it, in, I guess you could say less than 10 years ago, and now we have two guys that's going to be in the big leagues this year. There's a lot to look forward to. You know, you have a lot of people that's really excited. You know, I'm super excited. You know, whenever they get up there, I'm going to be right there with them, right there to their games, because, you know, that's looking at two guys I played against growing up. And, you know, for me, I feel like once they make it, I'm there too. So, you know, number 7 is a small number, like you said, but it's very important for us. It's something that, you know, you'll never be able to take away from them. Number 7 and number 8, you know, their name will be etched in history forever and ever. And that's a good part of being from a small country, is that, you know, you won't get lost. They won't ever be lost, ever. It'd always be the Jazz and or Lucius Fox story and those who follow, because it's that little number of guys that has made it and that will make it in the near future. So for me, it is a huge deal.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the player pool and playing in it, but let's talk about the fact that you know, it's 7 and 8, and the fact that all three of you guys have kind of been on this journey together to get to the professional ranks and to push yourselves towards the major leagues. And it all goes back to when you guys were kids in the Bahamas. So let's head back there, Jazz. What's your first memory of these two guys?
Lucius and Todd?
Yeah.
Man. Go all the way back. I gotta go
yeah,
all
like
the way back.
I feel a little old.
right.
Gotta go. That's back a long seven, time.
4, 5, 6, 7, maybe Coach Pitch.
Yeah, that's a
Coach Pitch. So I was about 6, and Lucius.
That's almost Lucius, 20 years ago,
bro. Almost 20 years ago, Lucius.
That's insane.
I was with Coach Andrew on the Mets. I can't remember what team everybody was.
I was with Coach Andrew too, but I was in the Mets.
You were after me. Lucius was on the Rock Islands.
My first year
I was with the Pros.
And you were older than me though.
Lucius' team was the worst team in history of baseball.
We probably went like 3 games that year. We remember.
They're worse than the Bats. We don't try that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we was good. We started off slow. First time.
The Bats was the worst team in history, bro. They went 0-20, bro. Come on.
Later on in the season, though, we was winning games. So I don't even lie on that.
Who was your coach, Cosimo?
Cosimo, yeah.
Oh, that's who was your coach. All right, so that I remember. Because I was with Coach Andrew because I was a left-handed hitter, and Coach Andrew was always throwing to me, and he'd throw me curveballs just so it could go on my back pad. And that was helping me so good.
And that's why you see Jazz Pimp changeups and home runs like it's nothing.
Goes back to when he was 7.
Yeah, it started from 7. He built it from the ground up.
Yeah. That was the first time of Lucius and Todd.
So that's way back, but then along the way, right, 12 and under, Babe Ruth, you guys, all the way to the World Series. So I want to hear about that, because that's, you go from being on different teams when you were really young and Coach Pitch, but you talk about 12 and under is legit baseball at that point, and you guys were big on a world scale, to be honest, right? You came up to, what, North Carolina for that Little League World Series, and just talk, I don't know who wants to start, but take us through that and that part of the journey.
I'll start. We should have two-peat. The year before we went to Virginia to qualify, we had an incredible... Our team was good, but not as good as their team. Our team was good enough, but their team was a lot better. But it just fell apart when I slid in the second and rolled my ankle. The rest was history. But watching them go through it the following year, it felt like I was right there with them the whole way. Because I knew what it meant for us to lose that year, and I knew it was my last year in 12 and under, and I knew how much that loss meant to them. Nothing was going to stop them. Nothing.
So who was the hero, guys?
Everyone. That's what made it so great. Like, we all shine at different moments. You know what I'm saying? There would be some games we would hit multiple home runs, like everyone, like me and Josh, did multiple home runs, and
yeah,
he was crazy. The MVP one game, I was the MVP one game, you know, Chavez right. Might have been MVP one or two, Myron, a lot
Myron
of guys.
We just had, thing.
So, I want y'all to please explain to them the damage that you guys did in Freeport in the Bahamian Nationals.
My goodness.
This when I knew this team was gonna be unreal. This team would have beaten any team you put in the world, right? At that, if they qualify for the Little League World Series, we would have had a Little League World Series championship.
Yeah, we would have won that easy.
Easily.
What they did before they went there is like watching video games. we host this national tournament in the Bahamas every year. And growing up, it was a huge deal. It's like, if you didn't make the national team for your league, like, you were heartbroken the rest of the summer. So we went to nationals in Freeport. And usually you'd have the like 13, 15, and 18 and under age group would be the age groups you watch. Not this year. This year was the 12 and under age group. It was all watching the Showtime Freedom Farm team. That's what the team, I let them take the floor.
Yeah, Jack, can I start it off?
You can start.
So let me tell you how crazy this tournament was. I think Lucius, I think we only played 4 or 5 games. Or 3 or 4. I don't know.
I think it's five.
Yeah, like
Lucius finished the tournament with 11 home runs and didn't win MVP.
What?
And didn't. Lucius was not the MVP of the tournament. Listen to this. I had 6. The one who won the MVP had 13 home runs.
He had 13 home runs that Claire Fields, though.
In 5 games. This was ridiculous, bro. Like, especially the last game, the championship game, was like my most shameful game because I had like 5 home runs coming into the championship game, and they already had, Lucius had like 7 coming into the championship game. So I was like, I'm running behind Lucius. The guy who already won the MVP, he already had like 10. So it's just like coming in. I come into the championship game, first at bat, hit a home run. Lucius comes up right behind me, hits a home run. The next guy comes up, hits a home run. The next guy comes up.
All with wood bat. Like, wood bat. Yeah, we don't use metal in the bomb. Wooden bat.
So they all home runs, right? We go through the order. We win this game. We won this game, what, 28-0?
Yeah, smoke.
Like, it was like just home run galore, except for me after my first home run. After my first home run, everybody in the crowd was like, you can't do it again. And the guy was always like throwing it outside. So like I was hitting the ball to left field and I just hit off the fence. And I was so upset because then Lucius would come up, home run again. Lucius come back around, grand slam.
It was the most impressive thing that I've ever seen.
Listen,
watching baseball ever.
That day, I was 4 for 4 that day. Lucius was 4 for 4 with 4 home runs. And I'm not talking about just on his right side. That,
and the thing is, I don't want the listeners to think that they were playing against a below average team. This team was really good.
I'm not gonna lie to you. We had conversations like between games. It wasn't about how many hits you had, how many home runs you had.
Like literally, because like the team was just so dangerous. And when Lucius, I'll tell y'all Lucius's last at bat before he talks about this tournament. Lucius's last at bat. Someone said, Lucius, and you been practicing switch hitting? Lucius was like, yeah. He's like, why you don't hit left then? Lucius was like, okay. Bases are loaded again. He already hit a grand slam. I'm on like second base. Like, cause I was leading off and someone else was hitting behind me. I hit a double. So second and third, and the guy walks. Lucius comes up to the plate, first pitch, absolute bomb to right field, lefty. First at bat lefty in the tournament. First at bat.
I wish this was fake. I wish, like, I know y'all.
I wish you could see the amount of people. Like, we had more.
This
people
was
than
not
William
fake.
Sport. We had
yeah,
more
it was
people
insane.
Than William Sport.
It was
watching this game, this championship game that was supposed to be like, oh, they're gonna play against this. They finally gonna face a team at their level because this other team was actually really good. And then we just like,
no chance.
There's no chance after the first inning. It was just like, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, everyone just – we all was locked in. And I think what prepared us for this was Greg Jr.
Oh, God.
He was in his prime. Think about a guy that just started playing like 2-3 years ago. He was playing at Nova. He played indie ball for a little bit. So he was pitching, hitting 90s. And he came on the little –
11-12 round.
Right. I don't even know how far that is, but the little league field. And he was throwing at us very hard. You get what I'm saying? Trying to like prepare us for like velo and all that. So once we practiced off him a few times, it was like everyone else was just like soft.
He didn't have the coach.
So right? who hit the 13 homers?
This guy named
my cousin, Anthony. My older cousin.
Oh, okay.
Was it Anthony? Was
no,
it the Cuban?
Myron.
Oh, it was Myron. It was
Myron Johnson.
But the Cube, so we had this.
And
this
was
kid.
A good pitcher too. Myron
yeah.
was our best pitcher.
And he, shut
and
them
he
up.
Also was hitting.
Yeah. He was.
So we just had talent from top to bottom.
He won the World Series MVP too.
Right. Me and Josh was playing up the middle. And we always, to be honest with you, from that young age, a lot of people used to tell us, oh, you're going to play in the big leagues, both us. You know what I'm saying? And it was always like Lucius Jazz. Like Jazz hit a home run here, like what you can do. You feel what I'm saying? So we always had that like competition against us. You know, but it always was love. You know what I mean? Like, we never tried to downplay anyone else's success. We always just had our competition, friendly competition. Okay, he hit 4 home runs, I'm trying to hit 5. You know, just pushing each other. So from a young age, a lot of people around used to tell us, man, you guys are going to play in the big leagues and you're going to be successful and stuff like that. Even before we even seen one scout, you know, like, they believed in us. They saw the talent we had. And it's crazy how we're still going this day, you know, trying to make our dreams come true. And hopefully we can do it. Like me and Daz talk about, he was like, why not win the Rookie of the Year? AL and NL. AL and NL.
That would be so special. Wow. I think the Bahamas would turn upside down.
Right. So if we could pull that off, like, I know we could do it too. I know we could do it for sure. But yeah, since a young age, we just worked hard, like really hard. We knew we wanted to play in the big leagues. Everyone would tell us how we already had a disadvantage being in the Bahamas, coming from a small island. Nobody knew anything about the Bahamas and playing baseball in the Bahamas. So we just used that as fuel to just, every time we step onto the field against international competition, we tried to show them, hey, we the Bahamas boys. You know what I'm saying? So we had a lot of fun back in the day, and I wish we could run it back. I wish we could play together again.
So with you saying that, right, please tell the story of when you guys, I'm not sure if it was the qualifier for the Babe Ruth World Series or the World Series, but the other team felt so bad for you that they gave you their bats and you beat them with it.
And we beat them with it.
Tim, we literally bought bats from Walmart. Like, we went to Walmart to purchase our bats for this tournament. Right, because we play a wood. And the first couple of games, like, we're using a metal bat. The ball is denting the bat. Like,
and we were still using them and winning, bro. Like, that's crazy.
Right. Like, we would dent one side and then use the next side.
Especially the V-grip.
Right. And we just was breaking, smashing teams with it. And then this team saw the bats we was using, and they offered to give us some of their bats. And that was the wrongest thing they could do.
Man, that DeMarini Voodoo, I remember them to this day, bro. It was, like, the first time they brought out, like, the new DeMarini Voodoo composite, like, double, like, thing. And we had the Easton stealth they gave us. Oh my goodness, first at bat with the DeMarini was a home run. It was just like bing.
Wow. It's like giving a pot of gold to young kids. Like, it's like, oh, this bat, like, bro, I seen this bat on the internet, but I never thought I could touch it for real.
Right. Literally.
Yeah, literally. Bro.
So I remember the we year actually before. Do you remember the year before when the other team beat us, went after Todd Brody and go with, like, them Anderson bats, Todd?
The softball bats.
Yeah, they so Coach Greg came that next year and said, you remember the bats they beat y'all with last year? Hell, we have one of them right here. Man, but he had it as a combat. You remember the combat bats?
Yeah, the combat. He gave it
to me. When he gave me this bat, Todd, it was like heaven. He say, Jazz, you can swing this. This is a small bat, but you can swing it. It's a 29. Todd, I made that 29-inch bat look like a whole 34-inch bat. I was hitting ball so far with that bat. It's really like a dream.
Right, so the crazy thing about it is we had the qualifier in Florida, and we just ran through everyone. We was undefeated. Coming up to the championship game, we would have to lose twice to be eliminated. We lost the first game. So going into the win or go home, we knew what we were up against. This is our last time probably playing the game, I mean, playing with each other. You know what I mean? We're 12 years old. Once we get 13, we started going off to school and stuff like that. So he's like, man, we got to make it count. And the championship game, we handled business. You know what I mean? Myron came on. He did his thing. Jazz did his thing. I did my thing. Chavez did. Everyone just did their thing. And we just put it all together. And it was the best baseball you could see.
From a 12
and we took team. Right, we took that into the World Series in North Carolina. But I think it was just so exciting for us because, you know, coming from a small island and coming into the United States and seeing all this fancy stuff, and we just was the kids that just our eyes were so big. Like, we were so excited just to be here and in this moment and just to share this moment with all the bass around the United States. But we never let it get to us, like the pressure. We just continued to have fun and kept it light and just competed against ourselves. And that's why I think that we did really well.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember this part about this trip, Lucius, of the World Series trip, but was Chavez or Myron your roommate? Is Myron?
Myron was my
okay.
roommate.
I don't know if you remember this. Remember, I had a roommate, but he never used to want to, like, do anything. But I used to be y'all place for, like, the
y'all,
first
year. It was host families, right?
Yeah, it was host families. And my host family was in the, like, back of nowhere in the country, and I didn't feel comfortable. So I would always go to, like, Lucius's place, like, after to play basketball, go in the pool down the street with Chavez and Wade and whoever down the street. So, like, I got kicked out of my host family because I was never home. Like, yeah, Jazz always had to do something wrong every trip. It was just one. I had to have, like, one thing to mess up every trip. So, like, every trip I had one thing I always messed up. I was always, like, something weird. So, like, I got kicked out because I never wanted to stay in the country, and there's, like, mosquitoes everywhere. I was like, bro, this worse than home. It's, like, bugs everywhere. I want to go live in the city. So I was going by them. So I got kicked out. One day they just came over to the house that they always see me at and, like, dropped my stuff off, and I end up staying with Lucius and Myron. And we play basketball every day. And Coach Greg was just, like, out of it. After we lost that game where we thought we was out of the tournament, we lost one game in the tournament we thought we was out. And I air him out, bro. I was a 12-year-old. I was always passionate. So, like, when something happened, it was like this was the game I think me and you went back to back. You win the first MVP the first game, and I won this game. But we still lost. I went, like, 3-for-3. And my last hit would have won us the game. But he sent the dude back to third base. Like, he could have rounded him and scored. And he was already halfway home before the ball was in the infield. And he still sent him back. So after we lost, he was like, yeah, it was a tough loss, guys. But, you know, we did well and we fought well. And I was like, me as a kid was wild. I'll tell you that. So as soon as he said, you fought well, I was like, now that's some BS, bro. I ain't even into hearing all of this, bro. You caused us to lose. Like, I hate losing. And now we can't even win this trophy. And it would have been so easy for us. And I'm mad. Like, I'm just screaming at him, and this is my coach. And then we found out the other team lost too. So we were back in because we scored the most runs out of us and the other team. And I was like, bro, you so lucky. Yeah, it was funny.
All right, I want to get into what you guys are doing right now as far as, you know, the player pool and all that. But first, one more thing about growing up. And because, Jazz, we've talked about this with Todd and Lou and how they get into baseball on an island where baseball is not, like, the number one sport necessarily. So what got you into it? Family? Like, what was the thing that allowed you to first pick up that bat and ball?
I think everyone knows in the Bahamas that my grandmother was a softball player, and she extended her career just so I could see her play shortstop. And I would always be out to the field, like, every Saturday to watch her play when I was young and come up. And she was really the one who took me to the baseball field to play against these guys and see them out there. And I was like, yeah, I want to do this, and I want to be in the big leagues. I want to do it on TV. Like, those guys playing on TV. And she was like, all right, I'll take you to someone I trust. And she took me to the field, to Freedom Farm Baseball League, the Little League. And she was like, this is my grandson. And my grandmother's she's very respected in the Bahamas, so a lot of people know her. So in the Bahamas, she was like, yeah, this is my grandson. He really wants to play baseball, and I'm going to put him under y'all. I trust y'all to do it. And that's where I met these guys. And since then, it's been a ride.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of battles. Me and Lucius is always on the same team versus Jazz.
I was always against them on the rival team. It was never like I was on a terrible team and they was on the best team.
It was always rivals. Always.
It was always back to back. I don't even.
It's
think
like we couldn't wait to see each other playing against each other, matching up against. We couldn't wait because when we were growing up, we used to have TV games. So Rev, who was a cable provider here in the Bahamas, they used to stream our 12 and under games. And it used to be lit. I mean, 12 and under games, you playing on TV. That was super cool for us because, you know, you're in fifth and sixth grade, seventh grade. You're telling your friends, yo, I can be on TV 10 o'clock in the morning,
right?
12 o'clock, right. Watch me and Lou play against Jazz. We can kill Jazz. Our team was the Wild Dogs. They were the Kongs. Like, we can kill them. And it used to be so much fun because those games, I think I used to play with my most emotion. Even to this day, like, I feel, you know, those games, I was a deciding factor in the game. The game would be, we would either win or lose, and I either did something that was questionable for us to either win or lose. Like, one time, on a TV game, we have footage of this. We have footage of this.
Yes, we do.
One time on a TV game, there was a ball hit to shortstop. I was on third base.
I was at shortstop.
I think it was Kenton at shortstop. You was playing shortstop. There's a ball hit to Jazz, and my coach was like, you going on anything. So, ball hit to Jazz, and the catch already had the ball. This is so bad to say. This is so, so bad. I do not encourage any kids to do this. He had the ball and was like already like in a position to tag me. And instead of me like sliding to avoid him, I didn't truck him. But I like slid, but it was like a jump slide.
It wasn't jump.
And it was
a jump kick.
When I slid into him, he's already like in the position down with his knee. So when I like slid into him, I like hit him in his chest. His face mask went one way, the chest protector went one way, the glove was another way, the ball was another way. And I was safe. And they paused the game for like 35 minutes. The parents cussing 12-year-old me out like a dog. This kid's mom told me she was gonna kill me. I think if she sees me today, she probably would kill me. That's how bad it was. And we won the game by one run.
By one run.
But let's flip it again. When I tried it again a couple weeks later, this time they was ready for it. And we end up losing that game by one.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked to me so bad. So bad. But all on TV, you know, these like games that I'll never, ever forget. You know, growing up, I used to close out games. And I was always, I could happily and proudly say in my pitching career growing up, I never, ever gave up a home run. The one time I almost did was to Jazz. It was a foul ball home run. I'd never forget it. But you know, we had a lot of memories playing against each other. We played some of the best baseball against each other.
I got a lot best of baseball home runs against y'all. Y'all are the foul ball home run kings for me. I think I only have like two fair ball home runs against y'all, like y'all two on a team in my career. About 20 foul ball ones, I'll tell you that.
Just like today, Jazz, every time he gets up to the plate, there's a strong chance he's going to hit home run. It was the same thing
from
growing
back,
up.
Bro, from back then, you always was hitting home runs or like to hit home runs. That's all I used to talk about was home
runs. That's all I used to talk about back then.
Right.
Like from a kid.
That's it.
I just want to hit home runs.
Like
I want to jog around
base. Or none of that. Right. No. It's always like, bro, I'm hitting home
runs. I want to pimp it like Griffey.
So you guys take it all the way to pro ball, obviously, which is amazing for all three of you guys to get to the pro ranks. But right now, obviously, it's Lou and you, Jazz, that are here in the States getting ready to play the season or to work out while the season's going on. It's obviously weird with the 60-man player pool. So I just want to get into that a little bit and get your feelings on what it's been like a little bit. Lou mentioned it off the top a little, but you know, with the Marlins, what's it been like? Obviously, it's you guys are getting tested, what, three times a week or tested a lot, and you know, I know you got to swing the bat a little bit finally today. Just how strange has it all been? How surreal is it trying to get ready for a baseball season during this pandemic?
I mean, it's really hard trying to get ready for a baseball season, like, because if you were in my spot, you could get a false positive, and they'll take you off the field right there. Like, as soon as they find out you have a false positive, they take you off the field and tell you, hey, go home, quarantine, do these things. But to me, I was like, I just had two negatives 2 days before these, so I'm gonna try and get another test tomorrow. Let's try it out. And comes back negative again, and then you're just like, I still got to wait to take another test because I need two negatives. And then if that comes back positive, you still don't get to go back on the field. So, like me, today was only like my second day back on the field because of that's been happening to me. So, I mean, it's hard to get ready, but you just got to keep the right mindset. You got to keep a positive mindset and tell yourself, like, you're going to be ready no matter what. And no matter how much they tell you that you're not going to be on the field, how much they tell you, hey, you got to stay inside for 2 weeks. Nah, I'm going to stay getting ready. I'm going to always be ready. As soon as I step on this field, I'm ready. Everybody else is in trouble. If you got to face me, you are in trouble. If you hear me, if you listen to this and you are a professional pitcher, you're in trouble.
That's pitching in the big leagues right now. You are in trouble. And I second that. I hope you hit a home run off of every single pitcher you face this year. Or base hit, or double, or whatever.
What were you going to say, Lou?
But I was saying that's good, Jazz, because you stand mentally prepared. You know what I mean? Like, you're not physically on the field taking swings or ground balls, but in your mentally, you already know what you need to do to get yourself ready. So you don't even need all 3 weeks. You got what I'm saying? You could be ready in a couple of days because mentally, you're already prepared.
Right. So and I just sit here and watch 40 minutes of Griffey a day.
Right, so no matter what's going on with the tests and all that, like, you're in a good spot and just stay right where you are, bro. And at the end of the day, you know the type of player you are, what you bring to the game of baseball. You love playing the game, bro, and you can play the game for a long time. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's a little weird time now, bro, but just let it run its course and you'll be out there doing what you do sooner than later.
You know, it's crazy with Jazz saying that. It's a little secret about both Lucius and Jazz that the world needs to know. These guys fall asleep watching baseball highlights. Like, I have pictures of both of them in my phone with their iPads up, knocked out cold watching baseball highlights for hours and hours and hours. If you go to their YouTube history, 75% of it is baseball highlights. Like, they say they will be mentally ready. Like, quarantine or not, they coming with it. They coming.
Wow.
You're so right. Crazy.
Jonathan Villar, Ken Griffey Jr., Yon Mankata, Jose Abreu, yeah.
They go. That's what I'm saying. They fall. I've seen them multiple times fall asleep watching highlights. Multiple times.
So I guess I'll ask you guys this too, because they're obviously with all the testing and you're in an environment where you're always around trainers and all of that. Even though it's frustrating at times and everything you're dealing with, you got to feel like safer than you would if you weren't in this situation, right? Just because the amount you're getting tested and monitored, whereas, you know, that's not necessarily happening. Everybody else doesn't just get tested three times a week. They get tested if they start to feel crappy. So do you at least feel like, this is as safe as it could be for baseball trying to play?
I'd say so. You know, with the Rays, I don't know about other organizations. I'm getting tested every other day. You know what I mean? So there's a strong chance that this virus won't spread to too many players on the team. It shouldn't, because if we're getting tested every other day, and if you show up with a positive, then you can show up to practice or play. So hopefully it can stay like that for the whole entire 60 games. That way everyone get their fair chance to you know, play a full season or get the opportunity to play in the big leagues. Because the last thing we want is for us to have our opportunity and something was to happen. You get what I'm saying? Like, another player giving it to us at the field. So hopefully the organization and everyone doing everything they can to keep it clean and all our teammates do whatever we can just to be a good teammate and wear our masks, keep our distance, wash our hands and stuff like that, just to protect everyone at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's the key, I think, because like the NBA is doing the bubble, obviously. So everybody has to test negative before they enter the bubble. And then there's this confidence that everybody in there is, you know, fine. But baseball's not going that route. So you guys are, you know, people, if they want to go out for dinner, they can go out for dinner and you're going to see other people. So there, I would think there has to be like a trust factor between teammates that you're kind of all in this together trying to take care of each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Like the Marlins did, even like Lucius said, everybody getting tested about every other day, almost every day. So our team had a discussion that you got to be a good teammate on and off the field. You just can't be in there doing it right at the field, but off the field, you got to keep a distance from people. You got to stay in your room. You got to do everything the right way just so you can make sure for your safety, your family's safety, your teammates' safety, your teammates' family, because you know a lot of the guys now, like everybody's like in their like middle 20s, early 20s, late 20s right now. They're having kids. So, like, you don't want to spread that disease to their kids, you know what I mean? So, everybody got to really do it just for everybody else's kids and parents, you know, in that way.
Yeah, because it's so crazy how fast it spreads, especially in the locker room. You know, once one person gets sick, it's, like, inevitable that, you know, everyone will. So, you know, everyone's in it together, you know. Just got to be so careful, like in the bubble, like you can't go past a certain, you can't literally can't leave the grounds. Like they have securities that's like insane, which is, it's just, I mean, that's just they taking that trust, they just taking that part of trust and just not even giving it to the players, just taking that away. So for baseball players, I think like Jazz said, like, you know, you have to be, hold yourself accountable on and off the field. You can't just be doing and going everywhere. So
they better put the bubble around the whole city of Miami for me. You guys put me in a, what, 10,000 square feet? What do you have them in?
But they have them probably whole, like there's a, the whole
probably
Disney.
Probably a couple acres of Disney, yeah, probably. Yeah. And you want to leave Disney? Bro, you can put me in Disney. That's almost the whole Orlando, bro.
It is. It's huge.
You got a whole Walmart, Target, Publix, everything in Disney. What I need to leave Disney for?
Yeah, I don't think they could go that far, though.
No, I talk about in the Disney facility. Oh,
well, yeah.
All of that is in there.
But I don't know. My it's crazy.
My biggest thing is the food. Once I eat good food, I'm good. I can't be eating what they be eating.
I need good Wi-Fi for my game and stuff.
Good Wi-Fi, right, and food.
Right. If you can get me like a nice little rice and a steak and a chicken and a shrimp.
I think chilling.
Yeah, you can do it.
I was gonna say once they get through that 2 week quarantine, I think they get all the steak they want. I think is part of the deal with the NBA.
Do they have their wives and families in the bubble or only players?
No, yeah, right? I don't think yeah. So. Yeah, because some of the players have already said they would if their wives are pregnant, if the baby's coming, they're going to leave the bubble. And that's like, that's it. Which is interesting. If it gets,
I mean, you can't blame them.
No, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, playoffs? Yeah. Man, yeah. I'm about to have a whole child.
Right. My right. child worth more than playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. That's what? Like what me and Lucius was debating last night. Where do you think LeBron's staying in the bubble?
He ain't getting right. in the bubble.
Where's he staying? Does he have his own set of rules? Like, does he have his own quarantine area? Because yes, you know he's not sleeping in a small motel room. With a queen bed, like, eating package up. No.
Well, I know Bronny Jr. there.
I mean, he might be.
Yeah, he definitely got his own rules, so it's no way. Yeah.
There ain't no way you could tell the king. That's like telling Jordan, bro. That's like telling Jordan, hey, Jordan, you only have this Motel 6 room. Jordan would tell him I'd buy my own hotel, all right?
Yeah, let me buy the whole Disney complex. Maybe LeBron probably staying in, like, the castle.
The penthouse.
Or, like,
the penthouse.
I mean, he probably staying in something bigger than the penthouse.
Like a
They probably have his own area with, like, his own chef. is on everything.
100%.
He probably not even around other. He probably not even around his own teammates.
I bet you his family though.
No, he said last night in a tweet that he left. It was sad leaving his family. So
what?
Yeah, so they're not there. He probably had like a mattress delivered there.
He probably 400,000.
He probably you know. He ain't sleeping on no hotel bed to like miss and wake up feeling.
He someone bring a mattress everywhere he goes.
Yeah, he 100%.
Never beat it.
I wouldn't put it past him. We're saying that though. Who you got, Tim, to win the NBA Finals right now?
You dogging me?
No. You could answer next, but
I'm asking Tim. Oh, we're going around the horn? Oh, yeah. Man. I mean, it's all going to depend on, like, finding that chemistry again, right, and hoping nobody gets sick. But I'm honestly, as a Celtics fan, I don't think they have quite enough this year. So it's just, like, anyone but the Lakers. Like, just not the Lakers.
My dad's going to he's probably listening right now, and he's hearing that, and he's probably like, no. It's the Lake show. It's the Lakers.
I want the Lakers to win. I'm not going to lie to you. I want the Lakers to win one because Kobe Bryant, you know what I'm saying? Like, that mean a lot to the city. And plus, I want to see LeBron continue to build his rings and stuff like that. The conversation with him and Jordan is fun, and I think he need more to actually, like, keep that debate going strong.
Yeah, like, imagine watching the LeBron documentary 20 years from now. He had to handle Kobe death. Well, coming to LA, the team sucking the first year, him becoming a GM, the head coach, and everything in between, recruiting Anthony Davis illegally, in quotation marks,
tampering
in quotation marks, to this season, 2019-2020, to Kobe dying, them playing really good basketball, and then COVID striking. So I think this year in his documentary is gonna be like the Bulls went 72-10. I mean, 72-10 is a lot of wins, but
this would be
everything that they had to go through. If they win this year, is gonna be just as special as 72-10.
The 96 year after his dad died, his first year back. And even win the championship, yeah, that's what I feel like this year.
Yeah, it's
like Kobe dying, you coming back from COVID, you see it. That's like the CM. It's literally the CM path, and they given him the story. They literally wrote the story for LeBron already.
Yeah, I feel like
the story is, will you finish it? So
literally, I think that's what it is.
Would you finish it? Just put your stamp of approval right there. That's you, LeBron. Just put it there. They have it there for you. I ready to stomp my approval now.
All right, so one more thing I wanted to get to, other than you guys and what's going on, trying to get to the big leagues, is the fact that there's no minor league baseball, which is something that's near and dear, obviously, for all of you guys, you know, being minor leaguers, and you guys are getting to play ball, but Todd's back in the Bahamas right now, not playing minor league baseball. So kind of shift over to that a little bit, and just, Todd, how tough is this going through a summer where, you know, I know you were with the team at the beginning of spring training, then were released, but like there's that hope to get catch on again with another team, and then there's no season. So just how tough has it been? And I know you're staying sharp, you have the batting cage in the backyard there and you're working on it. But just talk about that. There's just the frustration level of not being able to do your craft.
It's been hard. It's been really hard. I feel like for me it's been kind of it's almost like you kind of want to distract your mind from it because you know, like, right now, like, I still had my suitcases packed. Like, my suitcases are stuff that I would have had taken to the season with me. I still had them packed up until 2 days ago because I just had an attachment to it. Like, looking at it, it still gave me the feeling like, okay, I'm still looking forward to going in and play right now. Like, I should be somewhere getting ready. Like, I look at the watch. Like, I tell Lou, like, a couple of days, I say, boy, we should be on the field right now. Like, we supposed to be playing. Like, I tell my mom, I was like, we in the fourth inning right now. Like, she just catch me, like, staring off in the space. And be like, what you thinking about? I was like, right now, I'm in the fourth inning. I'm like, about to get ready for my second at bat. So, you know, for me, it's just been kind of, I don't want to use the word depressing because I'm not really depressed about it. But it's been kind of, it's been like an empty feeling, like something's missing. You know, it's something that I've been doing for the past 5 years. So it's like, it just became second nature. So like right now, it's like I go throughout my day and I just try to do so many things throughout the day to make me feel that I just, like, by the end of the day, I'm tired enough to where I felt like I just played a game. Like, I went through a full day of practice and playing a game and traveling and stuff like that. So I try to do a lot of things every day to just recreate that feeling as if I was still playing. I mean, I can't because I'm not physically out there playing, but I've just been watching a lot of old videos, just trying to, like, put myself in like those at bats and like how I felt in those at bats. Like, say if I hit a home run, like how it felt running around the bases. Like, I could literally count the steps of everything I did the past couple of years. Like when I watched the videos, like it just comes back in a flash. And you know, I'm just like super excited to, you know, get back on the field whenever, you know, things happen again. You know, you still have a lot left in the tank, a lot left to prove. And you know, I tell Lou every day that after I take swings, like, it's the best I've ever felt. So, like, for me, I wish spring training and COVID never happened because I think I would have had the best year of my life this year. I think I would have really there would have been a shift in my career. It would have been my career to that point in my career where it's like, okay, he's ready now. But, you know, there's nothing really I could do. All I could do is just stay ready, you know, just try not to overkill, you know, so to say. You know, now, you know, you have thousands of minor leaguers that's not doing anything, that's just working out every single day. But in essence, you know, you kind of have to watch the toll you take on your body right now, because now you have this whole rest of the year to be prepared, in quotation marks, for a season that's not gonna happen for another 8 months, 9 months. So it's like, you know, I'm just trying to pick and choose my spots and just, you know, do enough to where I'm getting better every day, getting stronger, getting faster, and just, you know, continue working. It sucks for a lot of people. It sucks especially for the towns that rely on minor league baseball. It sucks for the kids that and families that can't see baseball this year. You know, some cities don't have a major league stadium for thousands of miles around them. So it's just an unfortunate situation for everyone, but you know, baseball will be back better than ever.
All right, we need to grill Jazz a little more while he's on the show before we get him his own podcast. let's talk about, you know, so close. I think number three right now as far as MLB pipeline in the rankings for his prospects go. So when you get ready for the season on the 60-man roster and you think about, all right, it's a 60-game season, there's not that much time. What's the mindset for, like, the possibility of getting that big league debut?
Every single day. Every single day. I'm ready to get the call right now and be like, hey, you up.
It's your time. The time is now.
And when that time comes, I'm going to leave it all out there. That's just what it is, especially in Miami. I mean, like I said, Miami is the closest thing to the Bahamas, so I'm literally playing at home every day. Every day is home. If we go to Tampa, I still feel like I'm home. But that's literally a road game at home. Because we're still in Florida. Florida is literally a second Bahamas to me. So, to me, I just, like, getting traded all the way. Like, I felt like I signed and I went so far away from home. And then to get traded and come all the way back home, now it's just... just time to shine now.
It's a home. Yeah, it's funny. Home. You're both back in Florida, and Lou, obviously you were with the Giants, and then you're back now with the Rays, and now you guys will play, because of the 60-game schedule and teams staying within their regions, you guys play four head-to-head, right? Is that one series, or you do two and two?
Two and two.
I think, I'm not sure.
It's two and two.
But I know I know what I did see. Not to skip over this 60 games, but I know next year's opener, we're playing the Marlins to open the season 2021.
That's going to be lit. The whole Bahamas is going to be there. Literally, it's going to be a whole section. And is it at Tropicana or
Marlins Park? I think it at the Marlins place.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, it's going to be the whole Bahamas there. I promise you. The whole Bahamas will be at that game with flags.
We're going to do the podcast from Florida.
Yeah, y'all shoot the podcast. Just wherever I'm playing, just, you know, bring me in. I'll be talking.
We have this is about to be the most lit opening day ever because we can shoot the podcast. We can have a party. We can play the game. We can have a party again.
It's gonna be that game is gonna be so crazy. I think that'll be the loudest Marlins Park has gotten in that new stadium. Like they have that brand new stadium, and that's gonna be packed with people from the Bahamas.
Hey, I ain't gonna even lie. After this game, they might have to call us the Kings of Miami.
They'd have to call the us new Kings of Miami.
The new Kings of Florida, bro, because how we gonna have that place rocking in Tampa? Or every time we play against each other, we will have a big crowd of Bahamians.
D-Way's gonna have to pass the torch from Wade County to Jazz County.
Yeah.
That's what it's gonna be. That's the future of Marlins.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's coming.
I like the sound of that.
I'll take it.
I was in Miami during the quarantine, and I saw these buses driving. Like, they have these buses, and they have Sandy Alcantara or some whatever name is on them. That's gonna be
jazz. You can see jazz on the billboards.
I was waiting to see like when the bus was gonna ride past. I had a jazz picture on it, but. It's coming soon. So
yeah, all in timing.
Right. Super excited though. Super excited for what's to come. You know what I mean? Like you said, number 7 and 8. If I make it first, I know you ain't far behind. If you make it first, you know I'm not far behind.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? So we just doing this for the Bahamas, doing it for the kids that look up to us. Just to show them that they could accomplish this, and hopefully we both could play really, really, really long careers in the big leagues.
Hell yeah!
That's really the goal. We wanna stick.
It's 7 Bahamians that's made it to the. I mean, 6 Bahamians that's made it to the major league so far.
You called me early. I appreciate that.
But it's none that's made it to the Hall of Fame.
Hey, listen.
No pressure. No pressure.
The challenge out there.
I'm talking my language.
Which one of us will make it to the Hall of Fame first? Which one of us will be enshrined first? You know, growing up, I always wanted. So growing up, when you guys visit the Bahamas, Tim and Ross, they have a wall of fame. I guess you could say in the Bahamas. I guess it's whatever. Growing up, I always was so fascinated by it because I wanted to be on the Wall of Fame. You know, they have athletes up there that's played. You know, they have all the guys that's made it to the major leagues, except Anton, which is kind of weird because he's been retired now for a few years. And he's made it to the major leagues a long time ago and still not up there. But, you know, that was one of my goals to get up there growing up. Like, I was always fascinated. That was, like, one of my first dreams. I want my pitcher to be on this wall. So, you know, hopefully all of us could be on that wall one day. All of us.
But who? Getting this Hall of Fame first. Now you was talking like you going. You going to the shrine. With
talking your language.
You just going to speak my language. Because when you talk about shrines and Hall of Fame and Wall of Fame, like that was the biggest thing as a kid walking through the airport. And like landing in the Bahamas and walking through the airport and you looking at these pictures. Like you already know about all the junk food stuff because that's what you do. But you see these people on the pictures.
See, like
you just ask your parents and like, who that is? Who's that? Who that? And they'd be like, oh, this person was in a major league. This person was a basketball player. This person was an
Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah.
The thing about it is too, like if you ask somebody about these people, it's moments that they remember. Yeah,
forever.
So for
us. It's like pride, like a one instance where, you know, you felt so proud to be a Bahamian. Like the Bahamas, I don't know if you guys know this. You can look it up. The Bahamas is number one in the world with the most gold medals per capita. Look it up. the most gold medals in the Olympics per capita because we average one gold medal every Olympics. At least one.
Hey, that's pretty solid if you ask me.
For a country of 300,000, we go for one gold medal. Hopefully two in this next Olympics, or three, or four.
That's facts. But anyway, back to what I was saying, because Lucas cut me off. But I'm a person who always, like, I was always walking through the thing, and I always wanted to be, like, every... Even Todd and Lewis, from they first saw me, like, I was a person who always wanted to be recognized.
Oh, yeah.
The kid. So, like, for my...
It's the kids' show.
People on the wall, it's the kids' show, always. But from I seeing the people on the wall, I told my grandmother, like, I want to be, like, on top of that. Like, I want to be above that. Like, I want to be at the head of this wall. Like, what have we not had yet? We ain't never had a Hall of Famer. So that was... I was the, like, in my head, I always wanted to be the best person to ever play baseball, ever, like, ever. That was my dream. That is my goal. And I'm going to make it a reality one day. And I will always speak it into existence. That is what I'm going to do. That is what I'm going to do. So from I was a kid, I would always tell my grandmother, I want my pitcher to be at the top of everything, like, all the time. Because, like, you only saw, like, the prime minister, the queen, and the deputy prime minister, which is basically the president, the queen of England, and vice president of the Bahamas. So it's just like,
there's gonna be jazz up there.
I want a
when
jazz
you, when y'all come in like 30 years, it's gonna be like a big canvas.
Yeah,
that someone painted. They didn't print it. They spent hours and hours on it. It's gonna say the best baseball player that ever lived.
Jazz, the kid 2.0 Chisholm.
Oh. All right, fellas, this has been a blast. Good to get to know you a little bit, Jazz. Obviously, the three of you guys go back so far, and this story is still being written with you guys battling your way to the big leagues, which is going to happen, I think, sooner rather than later. So we'll be keeping an eye on you, and whoever gets there first, it's come. Well, if it's Todd or Lou, obviously you guys are on the pod. But Jazz, you're coming back on the podcast whenever somebody gets to the big leagues.
Hell yes, whether it's Lou.
That means I'm gonna see y'all in 7 days.
Yeah.
Next week. Make sure you keep passing them tests. They keep getting them positive.
Yeah. Wear your mask, bro. Wear your mask and keep the distance, bro. Yeah. Protect yourself.
Stay away from them positive results. But to everyone out there, you know, this corona thing is real. Florida is having 15,000 cases a day. The president, you know, he says what he says. I saw something yesterday on CNN with them, with middle of pandemic, and he's doing a photo shoot with Goya. I don't understand it. But I say this to say, wear your mask. Practice social distancing, and just look out for one another. You know, just please, please do it. The sooner we do it, the sooner we adjust to this new normal, the sooner we can get back to traveling and just having everyday life.
Let's get some fans in those stands.
Exactly,
right?
Having fans in the stadiums, and you know, so please, everybody out there, stay safe, and just. Keep practicing them social distancing, please.
There you go. Todd said it. That's going to do it for this edition of the PVO podcast. Check us out again next time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good stuff, guys.
Paradise vibes only. Paradise vibes only.